We're going to learn something this morning from the Gospel of John that I trust will be a blessing to you. So turn in your Bibles there, please. John chapter 10. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use that one. John chapter 10. And I'd like to read a few verses just to get you familiar with the setting in which my text is was spoken. So we'll begin reading in verse 22. Verse 22. John chapter 10, verse 22. The Bible says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, let me stop right there. If thou be the Christ, what are they asking? They are asking him, if you are who you claim to be, because he had already said he was the Christ. And when it says the Christ, that's a title. And that title is Messiah. If you are the Messiah. Now, folks, you got to realize how important that question is, because all the way back through the Old Testament scriptures had promised that the Messiah was coming. And so now here's Jesus. He's here. And these these religionists of his day, they will not believe that he is who he says he is. Okay, so if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, how much more plainly do you want him to tell you? I mean, he's already said it plainly. Well, look at what his answer was. Look at verse 25. It says, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Now, what's that saying? Well, basically, what he's saying is, listen, if you're not going to take my word for it, just look at the works that I have done in your presence. Just look at what I've done. Man can't do what I've done. So, I'm telling you, I'm the Son of God, and you won't believe it, even though my works prove that I'm the Son of God. They bear witness of me. Verse 26, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." I like that. That's pretty emphatic, isn't it? "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, just a little sidebar. Jesus says in this verse, look here, when you get saved from your sin, when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, God takes you and places you in the hand of the Lord Jesus. And then it's like the hand of the Father goes over the hand of the Lord Jesus. And nothing can get you out of there. The devil can't get you out. Sin can't get you out. Church can't get you out. Deacon board can't get you out. Well, they might. I don't know. No, they can't get you out. Nothing can get you out. You are secure in the Savior. That pretty well solves that issue, doesn't it? Look at verse 29. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And then this great statement was made, verse 30. "I and my Father are one." That is pretty emphatic. "Tell us plainly." Well, he did. And how did they respond to it? Verse 31, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." That wasn't very nice, was it? They asked him for an answer. He gave it. And then they tried to kill him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Folks, that was the whole point. He was God, and he was man. He was not 50-50. He was not 50% man and 50% God. He was 100% man and 100% God, God in the flesh. All right, now jump down for the sake of time. We're getting there. Hang on. Verse 37. "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. All right, now get the picture. Verse 22, and when this discussion was going on with the religionist of the day, he is up on the mountaintop in Jerusalem. Jerusalem sits on top of the mountains. And he left there when they tried to stone him, when they tried to kill him, and he went down over the mountains, down to the Jordan Valley, where the Jordan River runs into the Dead Sea. And it was there that John first baptized. John came out of the wilderness, out of no man's land, out of the desert. And that's all that is down there. It's way below sea level. It's always hot. It's always arid. It's always dry. And so Jesus left Jerusalem, went down over the mountain, and that's where John at first baptized. Now look at verse 41. "And many resorted unto him." Now who are these many? Well, the people that were following him and listening to him up on the mountain in Jerusalem. When he left and went down into the wilderness, they followed after him. Now, let's read the whole verse again. "And many resorted unto him and said," John, speaking of John the Baptist, "John did no miracle. But all things that John spake of this man were true." In other words, they believed that Jesus was who he said he was. Now, what did John say about Jesus? He said, and no doubt this crowd was there, and they heard him say it when he was baptizing, and he saw Jesus in the crowd, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so they saw Jesus' work. They saw the miracles he did. They saw the might and the hand of God upon him, and they believed. And it says here in verse 41, "And John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there." Now, I want you to look at verse 41. My text phrase is right there in verse 41. It's the people said, "John did no miracle." I want to speak to you a message this morning that I've entitled, "There's Nothing Special About Me." There's nothing special about me. That was John. That was John. Nothing special about me. My text here said all the people who heard John gave testimony, they never saw him do a miracle. He was just like you and just like me. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the word, and I pray you will bless this morning as I preach the word of God. Give us ears to hear. I pray the Holy Spirit to fill me and help me this morning as I speak. And Lord, you know my heart. I want to be a blessing. I want to encourage hearts this morning and help folks. And so, Lord, just enable me to do that. I pray that you will touch our hearts with your word. And Father, help us to take examination of our spiritual condition this morning and to see where we are in the light of your eternal word. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice that the people said that John the Baptist did not perform any miracles. None. That's pretty interesting. You would think that John would have been a miracle worker, would you not? But the text here says that John did not perform any miracles. Now, this is stated at the end of the chapter, and that's why I took you back into the chapter, where the Lord Jesus was in this big debate with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and all the rest of them, all these religious do-gooders in Jerusalem. And they were just livid at the fact that he claimed to be God the Father. And they were ready to stone him for saying that he was God in the flesh. So he argues with them and he says, well, if you won't believe my words that I say that I am God in the flesh, will you at least believe my works? In other words, could a man do all of the mighty miracles that I have done unless he was God in the flesh? That's what he was asking him. How in the world could a man do the things that you have seen me do? He couldn't. And they were not interested in his argument. They just wanted to kill him. They wanted to silence his ministry. And so they tried their best to kill him. But we read, and I didn't read it for you, but it's there, that he passed through them. Because he was not to die by stoning. He was to die on the cross. That's what the Old Testament scriptures had said, that he would die on the cross. And besides that, it was not yet his time to be offered as a sacrifice for sin. And so he just slipped right through them. And he went down the mountain to the Jordan River Valley. And when he did, a great number of people came to where he was, and a great many believed on him. And I want you to notice that the people said, John did no miracle. Now, I want you to think about that for the message this morning. John did no miracle. Folks, don't we have a whole room full of Johns here this morning? Let me ask you, Pastor Ray, have you walked on water this week? No. No. Let me just ask anybody here, taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes and blessed it and made enough food to feed about 15, 20,000 people? No, you haven't done it, have you? Anybody here turned water into wine? No. You know what John sounds like to me? John sounds like you. He sounds like me. John, who did no miracle. You see, the average man doesn't do anything miraculous either. Think about it. Now, I suppose that there are some folks who, every time they sing, they delight us with the miracle of song, or there are some folks who can take a pen and write, or there are some folks that can sit down with an instrument and they can use their gift and their talent, and it's a miracle given to them by God themselves. But John did no miracle. That's strange, isn't it? I mean, you would think that someone as great, and that's what Jesus said about John over in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said of John that he was a great man. And you would think that someone as great as John was would have at least one miracle connected to him along the way. But Jesus, or the people said that John did no miracle. Now, what does the scripture teach us about the man who did no miracle? That's what we want to look at this morning. The man who did no miracle. What does the Bible say about this man? Let me ask you, is miracle working a necessity for being used of God? Well, evidently not, because John didn't do any miracles and he was greatly used of God. So what does the Bible say about this man who did no miracle? A man like you and a man like me. What does the scripture reveal about him? I want to very quickly give you four things that I think the scriptures reveal about this man who did no miracle. Number one, he did no miracle, yet he was a man of tremendous character. Tremendous character. And maybe we, as we read the scripture, would be a little more aware of that about John if when we read about him, he is not always standing in our Lord's shadow. Maybe we would have noticed that a little clearer. I mean, think about it. A flower will be more apt to bloom if you aren't standing there watching it. And our Lord was the altogether lovely, and so just about every time you see John, there's the Lord standing beside him. It's no wonder that John is not seen as clearly because the Lord is standing there. But let's think about John for just a moment. He was a man of tremendous character. Now, I've told you before that reputation is what men think of you, but character is what God and your wife know you are. You with me on that? Character is what you are when nobody else is around. Character is simply the ability to do right. Just the ability to do right, regardless. Regardless. That's character. And John was a man of tremendous character. He was courageous and brave, both in the desert and in the dungeon. If ever a man stood against the tide and planted his feet firmly to do what God sent him to do, it was John. You know, most of us would have quit. But John just kept going. Why? He was a man of character. Does that not stir your heart? But now, wait a minute. Don't forget that all of this tremendous character was found in a man who did no miracle. Now that ought to stir your heart. Because what I see here is this. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be, score a perfect score on your SATs. You don't have to have a certain air about you. You don't have to be a big shot or a big wheel or teeming with talent to be used of God. John did no miracle. And yet he was greatly used of God. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he was a man of strong character. He did what he was supposed to do. Man, I wish people would do what they're supposed to do today. Character. Character leads you to do the right thing. And folks, when you do the right thing, God blesses your actions. There are so many people of character found in the Bible. Joseph, for example. Here was Joseph sold by his brothers down in Egypt. Nobody knows this man. Nobody knows him. Man, he could have gotten away with whatever. He could have done anything he wanted. Nobody knew who he was. He didn't have to worry about somebody saying, "Oh, I saw that. I'm going to go tell your daddy." Nobody knew him. And when Mrs. Potiphar tried to get him to sin, he took off running. I mean, she grabbed a hold of him and he tore out of there, left his cloak in her hands, and turned around and said, "How can I do this thing? How can I sin against my God?" That's character, folks. That's just doing the right thing, even when nobody knows you, even when nobody sees you. They told Daniel that he could not pray. Well, what's a man of character do when he's told he cannot serve God? Well, he serves God. So at the hours of prayer, they're all outside watching because they know that he's going, if anybody's going to disobey their law, it's going to be Daniel. They're all outside watching. And at the hour of prayer, boom, the window goes open. He looks towards Jerusalem and starts praying. Can you imagine passing a law that you cannot pray? Well, they're doing it. You can't pray at ball games anymore. You can't pray at graduations anymore. I can't pray at Annapolis anymore. I used to be able to. But then they sent this note that said, if you come and pray, and we see you're scheduled for next Thursday, you cannot pray in the name of Jesus. You say, well, what'd you do? Well, I went on Thursday and I prayed in the name of Jesus. And that was 5 years ago and I haven't been invited back since. Oh, they were banging on the desk and slamming drawers and coughing and trying to drown me out, and I just cranked it up a notch. When they tried to drown me out, I just got louder. I can do that. You see, inner character is what drove John to be so mightily used of God. Old Bob Jones Sr. used to stand before the college chapels, and he over and over and over in a four-year college career, you would hear him drill into the students as he would stand and say, "Young people, do right. Do right, even if the stars fall. Amen. Just do right." And character is the ability to do right. Why should we do right? Because it's right to do right. And John just did the right thing. There's a second thing. I want you to notice. He did no miracle, yet God gave him a special work to do. You cannot forget that the people said, "John did no miracle." We never saw John do any miracles. Never saw it. Yet God gave him a special work to do. You say, what was that, Pastor? Well, he was chosen to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He announced his coming. His calling was to present the Messiah to the world. And he did that in grand style. He came out of the wilderness preaching the message for the people to repent of their sin and then follow their repentance with the outward sign of obedience of being baptized. And I'm sure the people that were standing around were expecting the Messiah to come in some grand way with great splendor. But it was John who told everybody that the promised Messiah they were all looking for was standing right in their midst. They all expected him to come riding in on a white horse. You know, they're going to save the day. But that's not the way God sent his only begotten Son. And one day when John was down by the river preaching and baptizing those that believed, Jesus came upon the scene, and John got the people's attention, and he pointed and singled out the Lord Jesus and said to all the crowd, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Not just covered sin like the Old Testament lambs, where you had to sacrifice over and over and over. Oh no, John said, this is not a Lamb of God, this is the Lamb of God. And he takes away the sin of the world. Man, when you come and trust Christ as your Savior, your sins are gone. You say, Pastor, where'd they go? Who cares? They're gone. Forever. John pointed him out so that everyone can see. And folks, notice that this great privilege and this great mission of pointing out the Savior was given to a man who did no miracle. Wow. Just an average guy. Just a man like you and a man like me, about whom is nothing really special or of any significance. You know, folks, we are apt to think that God's great tasks are not for common folks, but are instead for folks that have wonder-working power. But we can see right here with John that our thinking is not always God's way of thinking. And the beautiful lesson that we can glean from John is that you don't have to be a Superman to be used of the Lord. You can just be little old you. And you can be used of God. You don't have to have the power to be a miracle worker. You only have to be you. And for that, there can be a special service. Do you ever think of that, Christian? I mean, maybe God has something for you to do that only you can do. That's something to consider, isn't it? And think of this, that's something that God wants you to do just might be something that won't get done unless you do it. And like with John, it just might be something that the world needs. For you see, the world certainly needed Jesus. And he pointed him out. And you, not blessed with any gift of miracle, might be the only one who can do what God wants done. Think of that. Just think of that. I wish I had time to apply this to several different areas. Let me just apply it to one. Mom, I want you to think about this. I mean, you're sitting there looking at your day, raising your children, training your children, disciplining your children. You've got the housework and you've got the cooking and you've got the laundry. And maybe you're starting to question why you must struggle with this. Well, let me just have you think about something, Mom. Maybe there's a Charles Haddon Spurgeon sitting at your feet. Maybe there's a John Rice sitting at your feet. Maybe there's a Hudson Taylor sitting at your feet. Maybe there's a Fanny Crosby sitting at your feet. And you see only you, not blessed with the gift of miracles, only you can develop that child into being one of God's choice servants. Think of that. There is no greater, there is no more special work than that of training your children to love the Lord and to know the grace of God. Who knows what special work the Lord has for you to do? Who knows? After the early service this morning, one of our ladies came up and she said, with tears in her eyes, she said, Pastor, while you're preaching this morning, she said, that second point is the one that got me. She said, I was sitting there and the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with my heart because I've just been coming to church and sitting. She said, and all of a sudden I realized, whoa, wait a minute. There is something that God wants me to do. God led me to this church and has worked in my heart and has matured me enough in the Lord. And now this morning, she said, Pastor, I was sitting there thinking about my mother sitting in that nursing home and going to see her at lunchtime and dozens of elderly folks sitting around and nobody coming to care for them. She said, I think I could do that. And with tears in her eyes, she said, that could be a ministry, couldn't it? And I said, oh my, yes, it can be. Kathy Reed told me this morning that this last week she was able to lead a woman to the Lord in a nursing home. And this woman said that she had been a preacher, one of the women preachers. And Kathy took the verses from Romans, and Kathy said she could fill in the blanks. She knew all the verses, but she had never applied them to her own individual heart. And Kathy said, when I explained to her how she needed to call upon the Lord, she was more than willing to call upon the Lord and get saved. Wow. Amazing. I told you about sitting on the airplane with that Episcopalian priest. It came in. Fran always put me in 14A in front of the wing. There's gas in those wings. I sat in front of them. If you're going 500 miles an hour, you want that which is burning behind you. Amen. And I always sat by the window. I always sat by the window because if it's going to crash, I want to know when it's going to hit the ground. I got a theory. I'm going to jump right before it hits. Hey, don't laugh. You don't know. I may be onto something here. And so I'm sitting there and I prayed on the way down. On the way down, I prayed, Lord, put somebody in 14B that I can witness to. And on the plane comes all the people. With that airline, I have a bunch of miles, and I get to board first. And so I sat down, and I was watching the folks as they were getting on the plane. And I thought, man, that guy looks like he needs the Lord. But he kept walking, and then that lady, ooh, she needs saved. And she kept walking. And finally, clear as a bell, here was an Episcopalian priest. Collar turned around backwards, the whole nine yards. Big old medallion around his neck. And I started giggling. I said, Lord, you wouldn't. He did. Sat that dude right beside of me. We weren't even up in the air yet. And the man said, well, you're awful dressed up. And I said, what do you mean? I'm awful or I'm awfully dressed up? What do you mean by that? He laughed and he said, you're dressed up. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to preach in Atlanta. He said, oh, he said, I'm a preacher too. Yes, sir. I got that part. He said, what kind of preacher are you? I said, I am an independent Baptist, fundamental Baptist preacher. Oh. He said, I've always wondered what you independent Baptists believe. Really? Oh, just lob the slow one right across the middle of the plate, you know? And so I reached out in my bag. I got my Bible out. And I said, I can show you in just a few minutes. Took him through the Romans road. And he sat there going, wow. Ooh. Huh. Well, I declare. And it was just like putting pieces in a puzzle for him. And he said, I have heard this all my life. And I have preached most of what you have said. But I have never pieced it together. He said, that's amazing. How did you learn to do that? I said, sir, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And in just a few minutes' time, was able to lead that man to Christ. People on an airplane thought we were nuts. We were rejoicing. We were having ourselves a time. Everybody on that plane was watching what we were doing. Just the gospel. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. And listen, a man who did no miracles did that. Kathy Reed, a woman who has done no miracles, she's the one that did that. You know, this is, it's not that complicated, folks. Just find a place. There are so many avenues of service. That's why we have all these ministries and offer all these things that we do for people. And it takes manpower to do those things. And listen, it may be that God is just so speaking to your heart to get you involved in something, and only you can do that. Amen. So if you don't do it, that means it won't get done. I got to hurry. Number three, he did no miracle, yet he had deep and lasting influence. He did no miracle, yet he had deep and lasting influence. I think it was that, at least in part, that our Lord was thinking when he said that there was not a man ever born of woman that was as great as John the Baptist. I think it was this part that Jesus was thinking about. What part? The part of his deep and lasting influence upon society. You see, Jesus said that John had more influence than any of the prophets. You say, well, where did he say that? It's in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 9. You will read that the Lord Jesus said, when he got word that John had been beheaded, he said that John had more influence than any of the Old Testament prophets. Now, we just finished our survey of the Old Testament. So we know the influence that the prophets had on the nation. They stirred the conscience of the people, and they revived those cold and fleshly hearts, and they brought the people alive to the things of God. I mean, they had an influence. But Jesus said that John had a greater influence than any of the prophets. A man who did no miracle. Now, wait a minute, Elijah did miracles. Remember that? He called fire down from heaven. Boy, I wish I could do that. He called fire down from heaven. Elisha did miracles. He brought a guy back from the dead. I wish I could do that. But yet Jesus said that John had a deeper and a more lasting influence than even Elijah and Elisha. A man who did no miracle had a greater influence. That's amazing to me. But folks, isn't this usually the way life functions? Oh, granted, we meet that person who can take the common, ordinary thing and they can turn it into a thing of beauty. And for these especially blessed people, we're always thankful that they have crossed our pathway. But isn't it usually that person who is average that blesses us the most? Think about your mother. Think about your old hardworking daddy. Huh? The ones that bless us the most. A faithful friend. A Sunday school teacher. As I was preparing this message, my mind went back to when I was in the fourth and fifth and sixth grade. And I can remember old Walt Dudley standing there, my Sunday school teacher. There were about 12 of us boys. All of us should have just gotten a good spanking right before class. If we'd have just gotten thrashed real good right before class, I think everything would have been a lot better. And old Walt Dudley stood there with patience. He never had a tie that matched his shirt. Never. Never. And every now and then you could look at him, he'd have on a blue sock and a brown sock. Bless his heart. Shoes were always all scuffed up. Hair was always mussed up. But he would stand there, and I can still see him standing in that class behind that little podium and just standing there with tears running down his face, begging us to love the Lord Jesus. Walt didn't perform any miracles. He was just like you, just like me. It is one of life's most generous compensations that our influence does not depend upon brilliance or talent or beauty or wealth, but comes to those like John who do no miracle. And then lastly, he did no miracle, yet he won the highest praise of the Lord Jesus. Wow, think about that. He did no miracle, yet he won the highest praise of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 10, when they came and told Jesus that John had been beheaded by King Herod, he said, so everybody could hear it, he said, among them born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John. That's pretty high praise, folks. That was the highest praise that could have been heaped upon John. You know, I was thinking about this. A guy can lead a rotten life and yet win the praise of men. Now, let me give you an example. When we lived in Dixie, West Virginia, pastor down there, there was a guy in the community who died. This guy was a scoundrel. I'm telling you, nobody liked him. He was foul. He was mean. He beat his wife and everybody knew it. He beat his kids and everybody knew it. We went and visited him, tried to win him to the Lord. He'd laugh and curse. He wanted nothing to do with it. I was there 6 years. Not one time did he ever darken the doors of the church. Probably everybody else in the community came at one time or another. Not him. Mean as he could be. And when he died, they had the funeral at the funeral home. But everybody showed up. Everybody came to the funeral. Now, I didn't preach the funeral, but I went to the funeral out of respect. And I was sitting there listening as folks, and the funeral home director said, does anybody have anything they want to say? Well, a few folks got up, and every one of them that got up, and you could see people bowed their heads and started snickering. Because every one of them stood up and just lied, but they had to say something. And they all got up and they all talked about what a fine fella he was. And then the funeral home director said, well, Reverend so-and-so is going to come and say a few words. And so Reverend whatever his name was, he got up and he preached him into heaven. And matter of fact, he preached him in a mansion sitting right beside the throne of God. So a guy can be rotten to the core and yet still win the praise of men. But folks, listen, think of this. The acid test of whether a life is successful is not what men say about you. The acid test of a successful life is what does the Lord Jesus say about you? Does my life win the praise of the Lord Jesus? Folks, it doesn't matter one bit what I think about you or what 10 of your friends think about you. Question is, what does the Lord Jesus think about you? To win Christ's praise, you need not do anything spectacular. John did no miracle. You say, well, Pastor, what do I have to do to win the Lord Jesus' praise? I tell you what you need to do. You need to be born again. You need this eternal life that he spoke of in verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life. Salvation. That's how you win Christ's praise. The Lord Jesus heaped this praise upon John, not because of his miracle-working ability, not because of his spectacular career, not because of the big crowds that he drew down by the Jordan River. No, it was his faithfulness. It was his conviction. It was his devotion. It was his consistency. It was his character that won him the praise. Let me tell you something, folks. In this big old world in which we live, there is plenty of room for people with special gifts and with genius and with great talents, but there are a whole lot more of us who are just common people, average people, ordinary folks, folks that do no miracles. There's a whole lot more of us in this world that God could use if we would just be yielded to the Lord in order to be used. The Lord Jesus did not say, "Well done, thou good and brilliant servant." He did not say, "Well done, thou good and talented servant." No, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What does Jesus think of you, dear friend? Huh? What does the Lord Jesus... Let's suppose that the Lord Jesus were to make a comment about your life. What would he say about you? He said that there was not a greater man born than John the Baptist. What would the Lord say about you? Oh, my friend, if you don't know the Lord today, you need the Lord as your Savior. So I think if, when it was all said and done, and probably one day when we get to heaven and meet John the Baptist, we're all going to be a little, you know, "Wow, you're John? Whoa. There's nothing special about me. I was just like you. Nothing special about me, just like you. John, a man who did no miracle. But oh, was he used of God." Don't you wish God had used you that way?